You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. It's The Bigger Picture and I'm Ira Sivasodhi. In today's edition of Bloodlines, we speak to Dato' Ambika Srinivasan, the former president of the Bar Council and chairperson of Bursa 2.0. Thank you for coming, Ambika.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Ambika, we're sort of tracking our ancestry. Where did your forefathers come from?
Well, my grandparents, that is my father's parents, came from India. And there's a little story to that. My grandfather's father actually passed away when he was very young. Left him a piece of land. He sold that piece of land and went off to Nagapattinam, where the port was at that time. He got onto a little boat, which apparently sank halfway.
Oh, dear.
And then he swam the rest of the remaining distance to the boat, which then brought him to Malaysia. So, Malaya then. So, that was how my forefathers came here.
So, all of them were from India?
Yes, both of them were from India.
Right. Who was the custodian or storyteller of your family history?
Well, you know, it would probably be my father. We never actually had a designated person who would hand down the history, as it were, but it would probably be my father through the years telling us stories of his life in Malaya.
What do you remember?
Well, you know, there are a few things. For a start, I mean, he used to talk about the Japanese occupation quite a bit. Well, he talked about his father quite a lot and his mother, because he attributes all his successes to them, the way he was brought up. My grandfather, actually, maybe I'll go back to my grandfather, he started teaching in the old VI in Klang. He then came to Kuala Lumpur, where he became the assistant controller of labor. Apparently, my grandfather always wanted to be a lawyer. He never.
His granddaughter has lived his dreams.
So he wanted to be a lawyer. But what he used to do was, because he was involved with labor issues, he used to actually help defend some of the workers in the disputes that they had. So he actually lived out part of his dream in doing that. I think the Japanese occupation is probably what, you know, affected my father the most. He talked about days, how they were afraid of the bombings, how they had to move out of their home, how my grandmother had to be fairly resourceful in how she fed her family. They had a cow and they had their own vegetable garden, and that's how they survived. And, of course, my father did mention the heads that used to, you know, hang on the bridges. And he said that was a very scary time of his life. So that was the Japanese era. And, of course, then you come to Merdeka, which I think Merdeka was a wonderful moment for all Malayans at that time. And certainly the spirit of nationalism was very, very strong. I know that my father adored the Tunku. I think they all did, because Tunku was he was like a father figure to all of them. And he managed to bring out the best in the people at that time. And he managed to get them all to work towards one goal. And I think that is something that was remarkable.
You were 13 during the May 13th riots. What do you remember of that?
Oh, I remember it vividly, actually. Certainly remember. We never expected it to go out of control quite the way that it did. But I lived in Kampung Bahru at that time. I lived practically in the hotspot where it all started.
Yes.
So we actually saw people running past our houses with parangs and with headbands and so on. And many people actually ran into our home for safety, including some of those who were armed. And we had an older male cook, actually, at that time. My father was not here. He was in the States. And we had an old male cook, and he actually said, look, if you want, you know, you want to stay here, you'll have to give me all your weapons. So he actually took away all those who were carrying weapons. He took them all away, and he said, all right, you can stay here for safety and then leave in the morning. And that's what they did. So some people actually came and sought refuge in our house. So May 13th, well, I mean, I think the scars of the May 13th stayed with me for a very, very long time, because sounds of seeing fire, and then because we were living near the Padang where cars were, we saw cars being burned. We heard people screaming in the house behind. So those are things that have affected me very badly, actually, for many years.
What was it like having these people in your house while the riots was going on?
Okay, I can't remember that, to be honest, very much. But from what my mother tells me, I mean, it was fine, because some people were there genuinely because they feared for their lives. and we were happy to help them. You know what, in a funny way, it shows that actually we were all just Malaysians, you know, and there were as many, who were scared, who were as those who were trying to create trouble. So that's all I remember, actually, to be honest. And I think they had a meal with us and so on, which we didn't see because, as I say, we had a male cook who took care of them. And then they left.
Many people feel we have become fragmented today. Based on your experience, what you've heard from your grandfather, what you've experienced, what do you feel?
Oh, I think there's no doubt that we have become more fragmented, and that's very sad. Certainly in the old days, I mean, I remember everyone talks about the good old days, and I used to get irritated when they did, because I used to say, look, what was so good about the old days? But now I understand what they mean.
Yes.
Because we just had so much more time for each other, and it was a much safer place that we lived in. But the fragmentation, I mean, quite frankly, and I'm sorry to have to be absolutely blunt, but I think it's fragmentation caused by the politicians in this country, because there's a political agenda in relation to race and religion. It has suited certain quarters to keep us fragmented. It's a bit of a same as the British divide and rule policy,
mm-hmm.
because if we are divided, then it's easier for them to rule and to hold on to power. But if we were united, we would make things more difficult for them. So I feel that it is has been an ongoing process, and which seeped into our education system. So which means the youngsters were affected by it. So we are definitely more fragmented, in my view. But a strange thing is happening, and I think this is possibly because of the information age. I do feel that the youth of today are very disconnected from the politics of old, the politics of race and the politics of religion. I feel that the younger generation are not really interested, or many of the younger generation are not interested in that type of politics anymore. And yet many of our politicians seem to be in a time warp. They seem to think that those policies still matter to people today. They do matter to some. But I think, and I feel, that they're going to find that the youth of today are going to reject that type of politics. So I'm hoping to see, actually, a much less fragmented Malaysia in the future.
Wonderful. Dato' Ambiga, you have been a strong voice for women and justice in Malaysia. Now, you are willing to challenge injustice in all forms. How has that journey been?
Well, right, I think I have to first give credit to the Malaysian Bar, actually, for my interest in the fight against injustices. It began from when I started in 1982 as a lawyer, and I used to attend the bar AGMs, and all these issues used to come up time and again there, and it seeps into your psyche, you know. And of course, eventually, when I became president of the bar and I could drive things as well, it was all this experience that had helped me do that. So it's been actually a very eye-opening journey. It's been very often a tough journey because, as you know, I've had threats, and I've had...
Yes, Molotov cocktails thrown in your garden, yes.
That's right. Pleasant surprises like that. So I've had to go through that. Those were scary times, of course, you know. But somehow you soldier on because you know that you have the support of a lot of good people. And that's what keeps you going. So, as I say, it's not been an easy journey, no. But it is a journey that I was very happy to take, and I'm very happy to continue.
Currently, you're the chairperson of what we call Bersih 2.0. Tell us a little bit about this movement.
Bersih 2.0, well, everyone knows about Bersih, the rally that they held mm-hmm. for free and fair elections. Bersih 2.0 is slightly reconstituted in the sense that it is now entirely a civil society movement for free and fair elections. So political parties are not members as such anymore. And the whole point about this is that we want to engage with everyone on issues relating to free and fair elections. And so really what we are planning to do, and we've already started doing, is to try and put into motion the holding of dialogues with these various groups. When I say various groups, I'm talking about political parties as well as the Election Commission and as it turns out we actually have an appointment with the Election Commission this Friday.
What's on the agenda?
On the agenda is are the issues that we have raised in a memorandum we gave them, which is basically pushing for automatic voter registration, for dealing with the issue of voter fraud. We have also asked for some immediate things, which are basically we're questioning why election offences, people were not taken to task in relation to what appeared to us to be clear violations of the Election Offences Act. Why is it people haven't done anything about that? We also want to push for a free and fair media, obviously, for particularly over the election period. We're hoping to actually encourage debates as they have in other countries, open debates. So many things. And we also want to talk about a very important thing, which is the process of delineation, delimitation, which is a redrawing of constituencies, which will start from March next year.
Very progressive indeed. On Bloodlines today, we're speaking to Dato' Ambika Srinivasan, the former president of the Bar Council and chairperson of Bursay 2.0. When we come back, we'll find out about the award that Ambika was presented in the US on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, it's The Bigger Picture and I'm Mira Sivasodhi. In today's edition of Bloodlines, we're speaking to Dato' Ambika Srinivasan, the former president of the Bar Council and chairperson of Bursay 2.0. Dato' Ambika, you were awarded the Secretary of State's Award for International Women of Courage in March 2009. And this award was presented to you by U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and First Lady Michelle Obama at the State Department in Washington, D.C. How did that make you feel?
Well, let me tell you, I felt very humbled, seriously very humbled. It was a magical experience, meeting two very strong women whom I admire. But apart from that, I would say that I was very humbled by the other women that I met and hearing their stories and the courage with which they fought their battles. So it was a very eye-opening and humbling experience. And I think, I mean, in a sense, I was at the right place at the right time. I was president of the Malaysian Bar and I could move things, but I couldn't have done any of that without the Malaysian Bar. So I will not attribute the entire success to myself. I think the Malaysian Bar should take credit.
In the last 10 years, when have you been most happy to be Malaysian?
Well, I think it was in the March 2008 elections, actually, because multi-party democracy is something that I think we should head for. It's something I've felt for a very long time because it's very healthy for a democracy. And honestly, I never thought I would see it in my lifetime. But the March 2008 election result shows me that people have become more aware of their rights as a voter and the power of their vote. And I think it's a very healthy thing that had happened in 2008, because it keeps the government on their toes, it keeps the opposition on their toes, and the people can only benefit from that.
What did it tell you about the people?
Well, I think it certainly told me that there was a greater awareness of what was happening around us. And I believe the time had come. The time had come for change. Change is going on all around the world. So there's no reason why there should be any exception in Malaysia. And I think we have become a society where we expect a lot more from the people that we elect. And that is a good thing.
What do you feel we can do better as a nation?
Well, it's a long wish list, but I won't take you through all of it.
Why not? We've got the time.
Well, you know, let me start by saying this. Very often people say to me, look, why do you constantly moan about what happens in Malaysia? Right? Because you only keep going on about what's wrong. So I said, well, for me, as far as I'm concerned, Malaysia is a wonderful country. We have talent. We have the resources. I mean, the value of our dollar should be double that of Singapore and Brunei, not half. And so when I push for or I say things should be better, it's because I know it can be better. I know Malaysia can do much, much better. And I think a true Malaysian always wants what's best in their country and from the people who govern. So as far as I'm concerned, these are some of the things that I think we should deal with immediately. One is corruption. We must deal comprehensively with corruption. And this is not just lip service. We have to really make it happen like it happened in Hong Kong. Of course, we have a MACC that seems to have more, there seems to be more oversight, but not enough in my view. They seem to be doing things, but to me it's not enough. They don't have prosecutorial powers, so they may investigate, but they don't have the power to prosecute. So if they don't have that power, then obviously they are toothless in a sense.
Exactly.
That's one. So corruption to me is a huge, huge problem. And if we really deal with that, we will deal with a lot of problems that we have. I think we should also, number two, we should cut the politicking that we see going on every day in the press. People are really getting tired of that. We want the government and whoever's in government in the States, we want them to concentrate on us, on the citizens, and stop griping about each other. We really want them to get on with the business of governance. Now, thirdly, I think we should improve on our institutions, making them more transparent and more accountable. We must take to task those who are guilty of abuse of power, but we don't seem to do that very easily, because particularly people who are ministers or people at the top, we're very slow to take action against them. Now, obviously, I want free and fair elections as chairperson of Bursay 2.0. Mm-hmm. That's really something we're going to push for, because we want a level playing field for all parties. Then, of course, we should be striving to improve the quality of our daily lives. When I was younger, we never had to read about sodomy and things like that in the newspapers on a daily basis. It's now daily fare. And I feel sorry for the children of today because of the rubbish that they have to read in the press. As someone said, I think with the first sodomy trial, the innocence of the nation was taken away. And so I feel that we're doing our children a terrible disservice in the way we're carrying on. There's a saying that we didn't inherit this world from our ancestors. We have borrowed it from our children. And so whatever we do on a daily basis, we have to be aware of how it's affecting our children. And I think more of that is needed.
When do you feel most Malaysian?
You know, it's funny, in a perverse way, when I feel most Malaysian is when I hear people say that we have to go back to our own countries, in a perverse way.
Yep.
Because my answer is, this is my country. And I feel very Malaysian when people suggest that I should go anywhere else. So perhaps they should stop.
Thank you for saying that. Now, if there's one thing you'd like to tell Malaysians on Independence Day, what would that be?
Well, I would say that we should take back, as a citizenry, we should take back ownership of Malaysia and all that is good in Malaysia, the values, the things that that we lived by. What Tunku said, you know, he described us as a family. We should take back all those values. That's what I feel we should do. I think we should, Malaysians should not take a back seat on what is happening in the country, that we should insist on what is right and what is just. And I think, we have this Tak Nak campaign for cigarettes.
Yes.
We should have a Tak Nak campaign for corruption, for injustice, for everything that we, that right-thinking people would have grave objection to. And I think if we do that, I think there is no doubt in my mind that Malaysia will be a much better place to live in.
I hope you have a wonderful Merdeka Day.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in on Bloodlines today. We spoke to Dato' Ambika Srinivasan, the former president of the Bar Council and chairperson of Bursay 2.0 on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station.